Welcome back, everybody, for another deep dive. This time, we're going to be taking a look at the transformation of Australia's electricity grid.
And yeah, it's going to be a pretty fascinating look, I think.
It really is. I mean, we've got a fascinating white paper from the Piercy Foundation, which is an Australian ICT nonprofit, and they're really digging into the digital side of this whole transition to a net zero electricity grid.
And the Piercy Foundation, just as a side note, is named after the guy who created Australia's very first digital computer,
Oh, wow.
Dr. Trevor Piercy,
Okay.
which actually put Australia on the map as only the third country in the world to be able to achieve that.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Pretty cool.
So Australia is already a leader in the tech space, but they're poised to become a global leader in this whole net zero electricity thing as well. But how are they planning to get there? That's what we're diving into today. It's gonna be a wild ride. We're gonna be talking about complex challenges, some really innovative solutions, and we're really just going to be getting a glimpse of this future that feels like it's straight out of a sci-fi movie.
We're talking about moving away from that old model of centralized power plants just chugging away on fossil fuels
Right.
to a future where we've got wind and solar really calling all the shots.
It's a total paradigm shift. So to really understand where we're going, I think it's really helpful to understand where we are now. How does this current electricity model actually work?
No, that's a great point.
So just picture this. These massive power plants, which are usually built near their fuel sources, send electricity over these long distances through this huge network of transmission and distribution lines.
Yeah, it's a pretty complex system.
It's a one-way highway for electrons, basically.
Exactly. And that's one of the limitations of this traditional system
Okay.
because it's not very flexible or responsive.
It's like trying to turn a giant ship, you know?
Exactly. It's very slow to react to any changes in demand.
Right.
Plus, the whole system relies heavily on price fluctuations to try and influence how much energy people use.
Okay.
And real-time data is pretty scarce, so it can all get really, really clunky.
And then they've got another layer in Australia because they deregulated the energy market, which led to all these energy retailers. And these guys buy the electricity from the generators and then they sell it on to us, the consumers. So, how do all these renewable energy sources, like solar panels and wind farms, actually fit into this pre-existing setup?
Well, that's where things get really interesting
Okay.
because you've got the Net Zero Australia report,
Yeah.
which kind of breaks down this whole energy transition,
Yeah.
and it highlights three core challenges, I would say, for Australia.
Okay, let's hear him.
So first of all, the sheer scale and speed of this transformation,
Yeah.
it's unlike anything we've ever seen before.
Yeah, because we're not just adding a few wind turbines here and there. We're talking about a complete overhaul of the entire system, right?
And then secondly, you've got the challenge of turning this renewable energy into a massive export opportunity.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Really contributing to decarbonizing the whole globe.
So it's not just about meeting Australia's own energy needs.
No, exactly.
It's about becoming a global leader in clean energy.
Exactly.
Okay, so what's the third challenge?
Well, we can't forget about the people.
Yeah, the human element.
We have to invest in people and land to make sure this transition doesn't leave anyone behind and that the benefits are shared fairly.
It's got to be a just transition.
It's not just about flipping a switch.
Right.
It's about thinking about retraining coal workers, for example, to install solar panels, or ensuring communities that are impacted by these new transmission lines, they're compensated and actually involved in the whole process.
Okay, so let's zoom in a little bit and talk about the challenges of integrating these renewable energy sources like wind and solar, because they sound great in theory, but the sun isn't always shining, the wind isn't always blowing.
And that's what we call intermittency, which
Right.
is kind of a major hurdle with these variable renewable energy sources or VREs.
So basically, when the wind dies down or the sun sets, we need a backup, right?
We need a way to fill the gap to keep the lights on.
So we need a really robust interconnection, like linking up all these different parts of the grid and some really affordable energy storage solutions. So it's not just about generating the clean energy, it's about managing it smartly, like juggling a bunch of different energy sources at once.
And it's not simple juggling.
No.
It's really complex because you've got these technical challenges.
Oh, okay.
Because VREs use these things called inverters to connect to the grid.
Okay.
But they behave differently than traditional generators.
So it's like trying to fit a square peg in a round hole.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
So we need new tools and strategies to make sure that the grid stays stable, even when a bunch of energy is coming from these unpredictable sources.
And speaking of new ways of doing things, we're also seeing this massive shift towards decentralized electricity,
Yeah.
both generation and consumption.
Absolutely.
So it's not just those giant power plants
All
anymore.
right.
We're talking rooftop solar panels, home batteries, even electric vehicles, charging up and potentially feeding energy back into the grid.
Yeah, and get this. Australia is projected to have one of the highest ratios of electricity generation happening outside of the traditional grid globally.
Wow.
Yeah. And by 2050, it's estimated that consumer-owned generators, like those rooftop solar panels you mentioned,
Yeah.
could be responsible for 30 to 45% of Australia's total electricity consumption.
That's incredible. And on top of that, we've got this increasing electrification of transportation and industry.
Right.
And then there's also the potential for Australia to become a major exporter of green energy like hydrogen.
Yeah.
So this whole shift towards this decentralized, prosumer-driven model
Yeah.
really shakes things up.
Yeah, because it means we have to rethink how we manage this really complex dance of energy flow,
Right.
making sure that supply and demand are balanced in real time across this far more intricate network than we've ever seen before.
So it sounds like energy storage is going to be key to this whole transformation.
Oh, it absolutely is. And we need diverse solutions.
Okay.
We need large-scale storage, probably located near those big generators, to provide overall grid stability
Okay.
and then closer to the consumer level.
Yeah.
We need buffering storage within the distribution network
Okay.
to manage all those really dynamic, localized energy flows.
So it's like having shock absorbers for the grid.
Yeah, that's a great analogy.
And then we can't forget about community and local storage as well, which would allow homes and businesses to optimize their energy use and store their excess solar power, become more resilient in case of blackouts.
Absolutely.
So you mentioned earlier the Australian Energy Market Commission.
Yeah, the AEMC.
So what are they doing? Are they just watching all this unfold, or are they actually helping to shape the future?
Oh, no, they're very proactive.
Okay.
They've actually introduced new rules to better integrate energy storage systems into the national electricity market,
Okay.
the NEM.
Okay.
And this includes provisions for these hybrid systems, which blend different storage technologies to make the market more adaptable and flexible.
So we've talked about the challenges.
Yeah.
Now let's flip the switch and talk about the really exciting possibilities.
Okay.
Because essentially what we're doing here is moving from this one-way flow of electricity to this two-way dynamic energy network.
Right.
It's a completely different ballgame.
Yeah, it's like comparing a one-lane road to a busy multi-lane highway.
Right, exactly. So this future grid
Yeah.
is going to be unbelievably complex.
Oh, it is. It is. But that's where the Australian ICT sector has this huge opportunity.
Okay.
Yeah, they can really shine here.
So we're going to need a whole new world of technology to manage this complex
Oh,
system.
yeah.
But let's take a breath and dive into that fascinating side of this whole energy revolution after a quick break. We'll be back in a flash to explore how Australian ingenuity and technology are stepping up to the plate.
Sounds good. I'm ready.